Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to continue in our study. The title sermon today, if you're interested in that, is The Importance of Children, is the title sermon. I don't know what's going on out here. What in the world? Sure, I mean, we're trying to preach here, but I mean... I'm sorry for the interruption. We're trying to have church here.
All right. Are you ready? Okay, ready?
Yeah.
It'll be quick, I promise. Ready? Okay. One, two, three.
I want to apologize for that interruption. That was not in the notes. So anyways, let's get back to our service here. I'm sorry about that. If you were here last week, you know that we talked about the sanctity of marriage. We discussed... I don't know how to recover from that. That really was planned, but it still threw me off, right? We got some talented musicians up and coming. There's hope for the worship band and choir in the future. But last week, seriously, we discussed the design for the marriage. And the beginning of creation was for one man to be joined with one woman, and the two to become one flesh. And this is what Jesus was reminding the Pharisees, the disciples, and the others that were in the crowd that were following him. We were there last week, and we went through that awkward subject of marriage and divorce. They were trying to trap him with this question about divorce. But Jesus had this answer and had this for them to say. Listen to what he said to them. He said, "Haven't you read the scriptures?" Jesus replied. This is from last week's passage, Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. "Haven't you read the scriptures?" Jesus replied. "They record that from the very beginning, God made them male and female," he said. Oh, I'm sorry. "And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two, but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together." See, we talked about how God's design for is one man to be with one woman, and they're committed for lifelong. They are to become one flesh for their entire life. But we also discussed the known fact that from the beginning of mankind and creation, we've always seemed to find a way to mess things up in our life. Maybe mess up, we fall short of God's standard and short of His design for our lives, and that even trickles over into our marriage so often. And we get caught up in sin, we get caught up in our flesh, we get caught up in ourself, what's best for me at the moment, whatever I want. And we so often mess up that perfect design of God that He had for marriage and for our life, even in our marriages. And although we're not to use this as an excuse to give up on our marriage and say, "Well, the pastor said we always fall short," God doesn't want us to do that. We don't take advantage of God's grace. We also have to know that God's grace is there, and it was displayed on the cross when Jesus hung there and shed His innocent blood on the cross. His grace covers all of our mistakes, including, but not limited to, a failed marriage. We must repent. We turn to God, just like we should with any other sin, just as we should with any other area we fall short in, any other mistake we have in our life. And we must move forward in His grace and believe that His grace is real. And God really does love us enough to forgive us. And He still wants to bless our lives when we seek to glorify Him from that point on. Well, today I think it's no mistake that Jesus seizes the opportunity to teach on what He's going to teach on. He had just defeated these religious leaders by using the Word of God. He went right back. He said, "Haven't you read the Scriptures?" And then these parents show up with their children. They come to Jesus and they say, "Can you lay your hands on them? Can you pray for them? We want you to bless our children." And in these three verses we're getting ready to read this morning, we're going to see the importance of children to God. We're going to see how Jesus Christ, how our Savior views children. The importance of parents bringing their children to Christ, the importance of children to Christ, and a lesson to who of us, or maybe to some of us, who have been guilty of disregarding or maybe getting annoyed or don't really understand the importance of children. So let's read Matthew chapter 19, just verses 13, 14, and 15, and we're going to go through that. It says this, Jesus blesses the children. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And he placed his hands on their head and blessed them before he left. Before we go through it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you again for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for the tools that you gave us. We thank you for the roadmap that you gave us that leads us to you when we fall short. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your spirit. And we thank you for your promises. And we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, be with us today as we go through this short but powerful piece of scripture this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a disclaimer, the kids really didn't annoy me this morning. I was trying to act annoyed, but it just made me keep laughing. I couldn't help it. So, Lauren, thank you for that. Children that are here that made that joyful noise to the Lord, we appreciate it. If there's one thing that I get from these verses as a whole, it's this. Children are not only important to God, but they're dear to God. Children belong to God. They were important to God. You see, in Jesus' day, people often overlooked children. They were pushed aside and they were considered to be insignificant. And people would just say, y'all go do your thing, go work out in the field, whatever. You're not important. But if we're honest, sometimes we as adults have this same mentality. Even though we love our children, even though we do anything and we would do anything for them in the world, we so often push them aside, don't we? I know I do. So often they hear this from their parents or maybe even from people in the church. Not right now, sweetie. I'm busy. I don't have time right now. You need to go outside and play. Go do this. Go do that. I don't have time for it. I'm busy right now. Maybe later I'll spend time with you. Maybe later we'll pray together. Maybe later we'll do this. Maybe later I'll help you with this project you're working on. My children often hear this right here from your pastor. Be quiet. Working on my sermon. Right? So here I am telling you today how to raise your children, whatever. And this is what happens in my house. I'm working on my sermon. I don't have time for you right now, children. Quit fighting. Be quiet. See, this is what Jesus was combating in this experience. Christ is showing us today just how important children are and just how important and dear that children are to God. They should never be held back from God because God welcomes them with open arms. He is never too busy. He's never annoyed by them and their clanging cymbals and their joyful heart and them singing off key. Thank goodness for that. Look at verse 13. Look at what it says in our text for today. It says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. See, there's one thing that really jumps out at me that we need to notice about this verse. Now, and we're probably going to stay here in this one verse for just a little while. These children were so little that they had to be what? They had to be brought to Christ. They didn't walk there on their own. The parents brought these children to Christ. Luke records in Luke chapter 18, verse 15, that these children were babies. That these babies were brought to Christ. Their parents loved their children enough to bring them to the Lord, even when they were infants. Even though the religious and political leaders were looking to kill Jesus at this very time, they were out to get him. It was not popular to be hanging around with Christ. These parents still brought their children to him and said, "Will you bless them? Will you lay hands on them?" They knew that their children, even at that young age, needed what Christ had. You see, these parents give us a great example to follow. And we're going to camp out here for just a little while on this. In fact, probably most of the sermon's going to come out of verse 13. So if you start losing focus, don't worry. We're going to go through 14 and 15 a little bit quicker. But even when a young child doesn't fully understand spiritual things, There are some children here today that do not, they may not understand everything that's being said today, or every song that we sing, or everything that they learn in Sunday school. They may not understand all of that. They still soak up their environment, don't they? They're listening and they're learning. I can't tell you as a pastor how many times that a young child will come up to me after the service and say, "I learned this week," or "I heard this." And you want to talk about encouragement. Because sometimes you think, like, nobody's even listening. But when the kids are listening, man, it's something, the Lord is working. And it's encouraging. They are listening and they are learning. If you don't believe me, say a cuss word in front of your toddler who's just learning to talk and tell me they're not listening to what we say and what we do. Amen? Everybody's like, I know that. I told my sister this morning in a text message, I didn't ask for permission, but I told her I was going to use her as an example this morning. But she was a single mom for several years, and she had saved her money. She had worked hard, and she was, my nephew at the time was just not much bigger than a toddler. He was a young guy, and he was really into the Pirates of the Caribbean, if anybody's ever seen those movies. He had been watching those, and he really enjoyed watching those movies. Everything was about pirates, and so she worked hard, saved up her money, and said, I'm not going to use being a single mom as an excuse. I'm going to take in my son. And I think they went to Cancun. They went to Mexico. They took this big trip. And they go down, and while my sister's there on the beach, she gets a rum and Coke, right? I'm at the beach. I earned this. I'm going to have a rum and Coke. No problem. The problem is she was raising her son to come to church. They were coming. So as soon as they got back to church on Sunday, when they got back, the first thing that Christian, her son, did, my nephew did, is run right up to the pastor and say, "Guess what?" And the pastor said, "What?" And he said, my mother drinks rum just like a pirate." And he started going like this. You see, our children are watching. Our children are learning every day from what we are doing as parents. They're learning from us. Whether it's good or bad, they are learning from us. You see, we have to remember that children actually don't belong to us. They belong to the one that created them. They belong to God. God is the creator and the author of life. God gives us this awesome responsibility as parents. Anybody who's a parent knows the responsibility it is to care for these little children. But we have to remember, God gave us that responsibility. And he expects us to bring our children to Christ. Psalm 127, we talked about this several years ago on Mother's Day. But children are a gift from the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3. Some translations say they are an heritage of the Lord. And it goes on to say they are a reward from him. So that tells us right there that children come from God. God has blessed us. Does he allow us to be a part in making those children? Yes, he does. But ultimately, God is the one who creates us and knits us together and knits a baby together and its mother's womb. And one of the greatest examples of a parent who understands this, I believe, in the Bible was Hannah. Anybody know who Hannah is in the Old Testament? Hannah went years feeling left out and being mocked by other women. Some that were living in her own house because she was unable to have children. But she prayed so intently in the temple that the priest Eli thought that she was drunk while she was praying. But as we talk about bringing our children to Christ, we need to listen to Hannah's prayer this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says this. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow. "O Lord of heaven's army, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son." Listen to what she prays here. "Then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." You see, she gave birth to who we know as Samuel, right? The Lord remembered her plea. She gave birth to her son, who she named Samuel. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you go down to verse 27, listen to what she goes back after she gives birth and after she goes to dedicate him to the temple. Listen to what she says. She said, "I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he's granted my request. And now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And they worship the Lord there. You see, we need to look to Hannah this morning. If God has given you children, if God has put children under your care, guess what? They were his, they are his, they always will be his. And our job as parents is to dedicate them back to God. His service, for his glory, for His kingdom. We are to dedicate their lives to Christ. See, she understood that children belong to the Lord. She understood that we are to be dedicating our children to Him. Now, I know we're only in the first verse for our text today, but we have to stop here for a moment. We have to continue talking about this because God gave me a burden this week to share this about this topic and just to stay here. You see, in our society today, we get so caught up in everyday life. We get so caught up in the American dream. We get so caught up in what we find important, maybe what we just think is normal. We forget that our children belong to God. We forget that we have an eternal purpose. Therefore, we forget that our children have an eternal purpose. God placed them in their mother's womb for an eternal purpose that He wanted to use them for. We forget that we're to be the ones preparing them for their eternity, for other people's eternity. Maybe they want to be the next Billy Graham. Maybe they're going to be the next pastor. Maybe they're going to be the next Sunday school teacher. Maybe they're going to be the next evangelist. Maybe they're going to be the next missionary that goes all over the world. We forget or neglect the fact that we are commanded, not the pastor, not the Sunday school teachers, the parents are commanded to teach our children the Word of God. Amen? We've quoted this passage numerous times in the last couple weeks, but the Lord just keeps bringing it back to the surface. So we're going to read it again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, 5, well, I'll just go 4 through 9. It says this, "Listen, O Israel. The Lord is their God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today." Now listen to what he goes on to say in verse 7 through 9. "Repeat them again and again to your children." See, it's our responsibility, parents, to repeat them, to repeat the Word of God, to repeat the commandments of God, the promises of God, to go back to them again and again and repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home. This is what he goes on to say. When you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as a reminder. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. We use so many excuses, don't we? "Well, I'm just not a good teacher. I don't know the Bible that well." But this is what God expects from us as parents. Think about it, church. We dedicate our children to their education, right? They got to pass their SOL. They got to go to school. They got to go to college. They got to do this. They got to do that. Nothing wrong with any of that. We dedicate our children to the football team. We dedicate our children to the dance studio or to music lessons. And none of these things are wrong. But the problem is, where does bringing our children to Christ fit into our busy schedule? And our plans and all the things we dedicate our children to. Where does dedicating our children to His service and teaching them what a Christ follower is supposed to be like, where does it fit into all of that? And where does teaching our children the Word of God fit into our work schedule and our plans and our hobbies and all the things that occupy our time to keep us so busy? Where does teaching our children the Word of God fit into me looking on my phone for hours? Where does it fit in there? You see, these parents in Matthew 19:13, they love their children enough to care for their eternal blessings, their eternity. That's what they were thinking about. See, as a church, as parents, as grandparents, as friends, as Sunday school teachers, we make all these excuses to not accept the responsibility that God so clearly gives us about children. We're doing a Bible study, Lord willing, here coming up sometime in February. And it's going to be so powerful, and I'm hoping that everybody will come. As a church, we're going to be going through this video series where this missionary has gone to all of the darkest places where Christians are persecuted. And obviously, he told a story. We watched a little preview of it just to kind of preview it to see if it's something we thought we wanted to do. We prayed about it, and I'm really excited about it. But there was one father in this, I don't even remember what country it was in. But it was heavily persecuted, and he became a believer. He was the last in his family to become a believer, and he became a believer. And so he says, I'm going to start teaching my children. And the missionary said he was a poor teacher. He didn't even know the Bible well. He couldn't speak very well. He wasn't good at, like, you know, relaying the stories. He didn't know the stories that well, but he did what he could with what he had, and he started teaching his children the Word of God in their home. He took his responsibility seriously, and whatever knowledge and wisdom he had, he started passing it on to his kids. And it wasn't long that other kids started coming and other parents started coming. And before long, they had a church in their house. And eventually, if I'm not mistaken, he was actually arrested and persecuted because of the church that he had started in his house. And this is what God expects from us. Whatever we have, whatever knowledge we have of the Bible, whatever knowledge we have of God, it is our responsibility as parents to relay that to our children, to spend time and make it a priority to bring our children to Christ. Why? Look with me as we move on to verse 14 and 15. Back in Matthew 19, it says this. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." Don't stop them. That's why Jesus said, "Let the children come. Bring them to me. Don't stop them. Don't do anything. Let the children come to me. Don't stop them." There's an exclamation point. He was fussing. He was rebuking his disciples. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And he placed his hand on their head and blessed them before they left. As we look at these two verses, there's five quick things that jump out at me, that stand out at me about Jesus and what he tells his disciples and what he does here. Number one is this. Jesus rebukes those who stopped or tried to stop or disregarded these children. Jesus is plainly telling us right here in these two verses that if we are to keep a child from Christ, or we are to try to tell a child that they can't come to church, or they can't be in a service, or we don't spend the time investing in them and bringing them to Christ, or we don't welcome them and teach them about the Lord and His Word and His promises, that we're wrong. And if you remember when we were in Matthew 18, Jesus gives us this warning to those who cause children to sin. I'm going to read it. Matthew 18, 5 through 6 says this. "And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me." Remember, this is Jesus talking. He says, "But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea." You see, if we don't allow a child to come to Christ, or maybe if we just keep a child from Christ and we do everything else in the world but commit our children to the Lord, we might as well be leading them into sin, because that's the only alternative is follow the world, or we're going to follow Christ. And if we're raising up kids to follow the ways of the world, guess what they're going to be led into? Sin and death. I don't know about you, but I don't want a millstone tied around my neck. I don't want to stand before God on judgment day and he say, "Why didn't you bring your children? Why didn't you bring my children to me? Why didn't you do that? Was everything else important, that important that you didn't, Anthony, that you didn't need to spend time praying with your children before they go to bed, or teaching them the Word?" If we don't allow or we don't bring our children to Christ, we might as well be leading them into sin. Number two, the second thing about Christ in these two verses is this. Jesus actually called for these little ones to be brought to him. Even if the children seem too little to understand everything, we have to understand that God is all-knowing, He is perfect, He is all-powerful, and He is big enough to bless children. He is big enough to bless someone who we think may not understand the Word of God or may not be able to receive spiritual things. He is big enough, our God, Christ is big enough to bless them and to grow the seeds that are planted in their hearts. So even when we don't think they're listening, even when we think they don't realize, we are to be sharing the promises of God. When our babies are little, we say, "Look at the sunrise. Look at the sunrise and look what God did for us today. Isn't it amazing? Look at the stars. Look what God did for us." You know what the Bible says about the stars? Look at the sand while we're at the beach. Do you know the promises that God gives about the sand? It's that simple. It's that simple. Do you know how much God loves you? Look at that river that's flowing. It never stops. It never ends. That's how much God loves you. And you take them to the Scripture and you show them some of those verses. You know what? And if you don't know the Scripture, you go to your phone and you hit the little microphone and you say, "Show me Scriptures, Google, about this or about that." And guess what? It's going to pull it up. We have to understand that Christ is big enough to bless their children and to grow the seeds that we're responsible of planting in their hearts. Number three, Jesus tells us plainly in verse 14 that God's kingdom belongs to children. Now that should tell us that they're pretty important to him. Jesus is telling us that children are what? They're citizens of heaven. And I believe wholeheartedly that until they reach the maturity level where they can personally decide whether to follow Christ or whether to reject Christ, they already belong to him, so they're going to go back home to him. So if you're here today and you've lost a child, or you've always wondered, like, what happens to a baby when they die? It's just so hard to understand. Well, how can it happen if they didn't accept Christ? I can tell you what my Bible tells and what my conviction is on my heart. Children are a heritage from the Lord, right? God is the one that plants them in the womb. So before this age of accountability, and it's going to differ from each child or how they're raised or where they're from, but I believe God just brings them back to Him. God just brings them back to Him. And they're going to be there waiting on us one day. In a way, they're more blessed because they never have to deal with all the pain and suffering and the sin and the sorrow in this world. See, it's hard to look at things from that eternal perspective. But that's what Jesus tells us. Number four, it is children who actually demonstrate the traits needed to enter the kingdom of heaven. So really, in the church, in the world, it's really the children who teach us as adults what real faith looks like, right? Matthew 18, verse 3, he says this. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. How many of you today in here, if I would have said, hey, will you come in here and make a complete, you know, just racket and noise before the service as adults would have done it? I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. But guess what those children did this morning? They said, yeah, we'll do it. Right? That's what Christ wants us to do. Christ says, Anthony, I want you to go and I want you to go share the gospel with your friends and your family or maybe with your coworker or pray with this person. You know what he wants me to say? Yeah, I'll do it. I don't care if I look crazy or foolish or whatever. It doesn't matter. I'll do it. Anthony, I want you to accept my salvation. Would you just come back to me? Repent of your sin and turn to me. Well, you know what he wants me to say is, okay, I'll do it. Just like a child would do. You see, a child doesn't overthink and overcomplicate things like we do, right? A child doesn't think his education or her education makes them smarter than God. And they try to figure out everything in the Bible. Say, well, yeah, but, I mean, logically, you know, how could this have happened? Or, no. You look at the Word of God and you say, This is what God can do. He takes things that are impossible and He makes them possible. He is a God who spoke everything into existence. I'm going to trust Him and I'm going to do what He says. He's a God that overcame the grave. I think He can help me do what He's called me to do. They simply believe what they are taught and they trust it to be the gospel, which is the truth. Number five, Jesus was not affected by the opposition and the distractions that were there in front of Him. Even though it was His own followers. Think about this. His own disciples are the ones who are distracting Him here. They tried to keep these little children from coming to Him. And He still took the opportunity to teach them a valuable lesson. He still took the opportunity and still took the time to bless these children in the middle of it. He didn't say, y'all just don't get it. Whatever, I'm out of here. I'm going home. He says, look, let me teach y'all something. Quit telling them to go away. Let me show you the heart of God. Let me show you who God really is. He's holy. He's just. He's a God of discipline. He's a God of wrath. He's a God of who is righteousness. He is a God who is perfection. He is a God who is all-knowing. He is a God who is sovereign over everything. He is the King of kings. There is no one higher than Him. But He's also a God who is love. Amen? And Christ came to show us who God really is, the heart of God, and what He really desires for us. And what better example could He give us than to show us how God feels about little children? So as we close today and the choir comes back up and they want to lead us into this last song, I ask the choir to come on up and I want to invite everyone who's here today, and I had to prep some of the teenagers because I know they don't want to come up. But I want to remind anyone who's here today that's maybe under the age of 18, we consider to be an adult age, to come on up front to the front of the church. I want you to line up right up here. So any children that are here today, and if your children don't feel comfortable, parents, come with them. But today we're going to do that. Ladies, don't go on back down. What's that? Yeah, even the parents, sorry. Sorry to bribe the choir, but I want all the children to be involved. Sorry, Lisa. As they all come and the choir comes, I want to remind us of the two main things that we learned from Christ today. Number one, look at the blessing right here. Look at this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Number one is this. The lesson we learned today. Parents, we are to bring our children to the Lord. We take responsibility of teaching them the truth found in God's Word. We bring them to Christ in prayer. We pray for the Lord to bless them and to guard them from the enemy's attacks and all the things that the world's going to throw at them. We dedicate them to the Lord just like Hannah did. and we train them up to be Christ followers. Standing before you this morning needs to be the next evangelist. I'm looking at Nate and Caleb. There you go. Two missionaries that are going to go all over the world sharing the gospel. Oh, look here. Look at Levi. Levi. That was somebody in the Bible, I think. Right? Also called Matthew. Did all these cool things and recorded all the things that we're talking about. Who knows what God has planned for him? Megan, you're going to go play basketball and slam dunk in the name of Jesus. Right? That's what's standing in front of us. It's the future of the church. It's the future of what God has for the world to actually fulfill His plan through the church and through us. And that's why He created you. That's why He created each one of us. We bring them to Christ. We're to invest in their spiritual life before the football team, before the ballet lessons, before the music lessons, and even before their educations. Their responsibility biblically is to bring them to Christ. If we do that, everything else is going to fall in line and they're going to succeed at it anyways. That's what God promises us in His Word. Number two is we need to understand that Jesus will never refuse a child to come to Him. He's never too busy for anyone to come to Him. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He is the Christ. Yet He's never too important or busy to receive children. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? He's never too busy to receive you and me as adults. There is never a time when Christ will not receive someone regardless of their age. Christ is always available, and He's always available, and He's available here today. 1 Timothy, I'm going to give you two verses to take home with you today just to keep these in your heart. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says this, "For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ." John 1, 12 and 13 says this, "But to all who believe Him and accept Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." Now I know these children are saying, "Oh my goodness, why did He call us up here and why are we still standing here?" But what I want to do this morning, children, I want you to know that your pastor, your parents, and everybody in the church loves you enough, even when you give me dirty looks, to bring you to Christ. Now you have to make a decision in your heart to become a Christ follower, but we want to pray for you this morning and pray that God will bless you and keep you and guard your hearts. Are y'all listening? Because that's what we're going to pray for this morning. Would you pray for me or pray with me? Lord, we just love you, and Lord, I just thank you for the blessing of children. God, as they stand before us today, of all ages, Lord, forgive us for so often forgetting how important and dear they are to you. Lord, help us as parents, as grandparents, as friends, as neighbors, as teachers, as a pastor, Lord, that we would invest in these children's spiritual walk. God, that we would dedicate them to you. God, that we would raise them in the promises of God. Lord, that we would declare your promises over their life and to them. No matter where we are, every day, every night, whether we're resting, whether we're on the road, we'll be talking and sharing the Word of God and planting those seeds that you're going to grow in the lives of these children. Lord, these are the future leaders of this church, of your church. And God, today we just pray. We bring them to you, Jesus. We bring them to you this morning, and we ask, Lord, that you will bless them. We ask a blessing over their life, Lord, over their future, over their spiritual walk with you. Lord, if there's some here today that haven't accepted Christ, God, I just pray that you would already be working in their life, and that we would never think that they are too young to hear the Word of God. From the moment that they are born, we should be proclaiming your goodness, proclaiming your promises, proclaiming your truth, whispering it into their ears, singing them to sleep with it. God, help us to be that church. Help us to be those neighbors. Help us to be those teachers. Help me to be that pastor, and help me and help us to be those parents. Lord, again, we pray that you will bless them and keep them and watch over them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can find your seats. Thank you. As the choir sings, not the choir, and y'all can join back to the choir if you'd like, ladies. As the choir sings today, I want to say this. Do you remember what John told us and recorded for us? Do you remember what we just read? It says this. But to all believe in Him, he's not just talking about children here, but all who believe in Him and accept Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not of a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. If you're here today and you're ready to receive what God has for you and you're ready to come to Him just like one of these children would come to you, maybe you want to come and pray over your children, whatever it is, that's what this response time is for. So as the choir is singing, I'll just pray that you would come. And I'll be up here. I'll be glad to pray with you. Lauren, again, thank you for your help with all of that. Isn't God good this morning? Amen. If God is calling you, come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.